You have arrived at your destination.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, Brandon.
What hunter class would you be? It's kind of D&D class.
Oh, so. That's a good question. I feel like assassin is a is.
Assassin's
I mean, cool. Granted, like that's what we see.
It's
you know?
Really good, right? Yeah, yeah.
But we do, like, we those...
do, it's there's not a whole lot of assassins like
no,
shown.
No, no.
But yeah, it's like you got tanks, you got fighters, you got assassins,
you got healers, some, like mages. Mages
yeah.
are cool.
Mages are cool. I think I'd probably pick mage. There we go. The correct answer is mage. We've done it. But that's in this completely subjective question. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking solo leveling this week on Animation Destination. Destination podcast and animation celebration podcast. I'm your host, resident cartoon junkie Brandon Johns. I'm here with Stephen Barnes.
Arise, fandom.
Yes, arise, solo leveling fandom. You've been talking about this manga before the anime was even like when it was like a baby idea. Like, oh, they might be doing a solo leveling.
Well, when they were when manhwa started to become anime.
Yes.
When Tower of God.
Yeah,
hit,
Tower of
and,
God
and Jujutsu or no.
School of
yeah,
School of the Gods.
Yeah, yeah
school,
something like that. High school fighting.
God of high school. God
that's
of high school.
It,
yeah, God
it.
Of high school.
When those yes. happened, I was like, how can you
yeah.
be putting this out without solo leveling being in that conversation?
Yes, totally
and,
agree.
Yeah, and it was definitely on its way.
Totally agree. I totally agree. It's like, because like everyone talked about this one like for a long time. Like this was like the top tier.
Yes,
manga
it is.
That everybody talks about.
Well, and it was top tier art, illustrations.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
the artist for solo leveling the manga, the manhwa, I mean, isn't mm-hmm. even alive anymore.
Yeah.
But he was doing just some really just
yeah.
top tier stuff that you wasn't finding anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. The way he rendered light on every page and stuff like that. And this was a webtoon style, wasn't
yeah.
it? It was like
mm-hmm.
scrolled by a webtoon
yep.
style. So, you know, it's funny that like that's stuff that's getting made into anime now. You know, you wouldn't think that it would be like, oh yeah, webtoons, they're gonna be anime now. So, but
I mean, Overdue, there's some great stories out there.
Yeah.
Like I started reading Tower of God.
Yeah.
After the first season.
Right.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's really long.
It's very long. I started and then I saw how many pages there were, how many like issues
Dude.
There were. I'm like, oh boy. All right. That's a commitment.
Yeah. Oh, like, I wonder how they're going to keep that anime going, you know,
yeah.
but this isn't the Tower of God podcast.
Yeah. Not the Tower of God podcast. We might go back to it. Who knows? But yeah, it's, this is a really cool show, but before we get into it, let's get into our animation recommendation, which if you go to Nico Zhang on YouTube, you'll see his short, We Love Cold War.
Okay.
That's basically he took America and Russia and turned them into anime girls and then did a whole video where they fight.
Right.
It's pretty rad. It reminds me of Advance Wars, uh-huh. like on you ever played Advance Wars on like
yeah.
Game Boy and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Reminds me of that. But yeah, we got like a Russian girl, an American girl, and they have a Cold War. They have a fight, and it's cool. But yeah, go check out his stuff. Nico Zhang is an Nico Jiang. He's on YouTube. Or go check him out. Short animation film. It's great. We love Cold War. So go check that one out. For the Toon News, we've got official Sandland trailer.
I saw that.
For Hulu. So
yeah.
Some Toriyama love.
Can't get enough Toriyama.
Yeah, and there's new chapters as well that have never been in the manga that have mm-hmm. been conceived by Toriyama and this animation studio. So that's pretty cool.
That
so
is cool.
We're getting new stuff. I don't know if we're getting any new stuff after that. We could.
Mm.
It might have been a sold property and like other people will be like working on
right.
newer stuff. Who knows? But yeah, always nice to see that. I think I told the story about him when he made Sandland on our episode, on our Toriyama episode.
Yeah,
because
he doesn't like drawing tanks.
Doesn't like drawing tanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did the whole pitch, threw it in there, like, yeah, do the thing. He's like, oh, I don't like drawing tanks. Why'd you pitch this? He's like, oh, man. He just forgets stuff all the time. That that's Toriyama for you. Official trailer for My Hero Academia Season 7 dropped. So we've got the official Crunchyroll trailer for that. Cannot wait for that season. I don't know where they're going to cut off.
I was going to say, do you think that they're going to cut off, or are they going to try and wrap this?
They kind of have to cut off.
You know what they're going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to cut off and have a movie.
Yeah, well, maybe. That's a possibility.
A movie finale.
That's a possibility. Oh, because that's the thing.
I don't know if I like that.
It's weird because, like, when you have the time in manga, you can condense a lot of manga into half an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know, like, how detailed they're going to get when they get into anime and stuff. But we definitely know the big battle starts in this one. We've seen that it's starting. So it's not like they're going to cut before that. But, you know, that manga's still going. It's only got a little bit left, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we no idea of how many issues are left. But, you know,
I mean, they're in their final stretch.
In their final stretch. I think they'll cut this into two separate seasons, though. I don't know where, but they might cut this at like 12 episodes and then do another 12. Because typically they'll do 24 for My Hero.
Sure.
So maybe they'll cut into 12 and 12 and be like, all right, that's fine. So,
and then we get My Hero Shippuden.
And
that's what we all want.
And we'll get Eri in high school.
Hey.
And it'd be awesome. It'd be great. You follow Coda. You follow Eri and some other characters. Throw them in there. It'd be great. The little kid with the Langoliers. I liked him. He was fun. So I would love to see that. But yes, My Hero Academia, more of that. And the new movie coming out.
New
movie trailer.
The evil All Might.
Yes, with evil, weird clone All Might, or just look-alike, I guess. Doppelganger All Might, so that'll be interesting. So, yes, all that looks great. More My Hero Academia is always acceptable. And that's going to lead us into our topic of the day, Steven, which is Solo Leveling, the manhwa turned anime. It's great. As you said, I looked up all the stuff prior. The artist passed away in this. Is it still continuing with a new artist right now?
Well, there is a new series I haven't read about Sung Jinwoo's son.
Okay, gotcha.
And I'm not sure if the current artist has any, you know, ties to the old artist or how they work that out, but I haven't followed on that.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting. So we got a Boruto
I haven't heard great things about it, but I'm usually one to, like, you know, I don't really care what they say online. I'll read it myself.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, yeah. What is this world, Steven? What's the plot of Solo Leveling?
Such a fun world.
All right. I know, right?
So it's like one day
these
gates appear, right? Which is just like these like warp looking portals almost, right?
Yes.
And at the same time, random people throughout the world all gain these abilities, and then they call themselves hunters, right? And like you said earlier, it's kind of D&D. There's like, you know, your fighters, your mages, your assassins, your, you know, this, that, or the other, your healers, etc. Whatever like power level, whatever power you're given, that's as strong as you'll ever be,
right?
Like you can be super skilled at whatever level you're at, but you're not going to rise higher. Like there's level E all the way to level S. And so the hunters have to go into these portals and take out the dungeons, right? And defeat the dungeon boss.
Much like a video game.
Right.
In every way.
And if they don't defeat the dungeon boss, then the creatures inside will be able to enter our world.
Yes.
And, you know, run amok.
Yeah. It's called a dungeon break.
Yeah.
Yeah, dungeon break. And then they'll overrun, basically. Goes pretty crazy, but
and so that's the basics of the world.
Yeah,
hunters have to stop these, you know, dungeons.
And dungeons also have like levels as well. You have an E dungeon, you have a D dungeon, and all the way up to S rank dungeons and stuff like that. So yeah, and it's pretty crazy. I like the way, again, it's very much in the same vein of like My Hero Academia, because like S ranked hunters are like celebrities by like every stretch, because it's just like, hey, they're superheroes, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We only get to see a few S-rank hunters, but the main one being the white tiger dude, which I like. And I can't remember the guy in the red suit. Forgot his name. But
Yun-Ho Beck is the leader of the White Fang.
White Fang,
he's the one that's he's the one that's focused on getting back to the island.
Yes, yeah. He wants to get back, yeah. And, he's... He's the most Korean-looking character I've ever seen in my life because he has, like, that suit and the orange hair and stuff. It's just like, yeah, got it. So it's pretty funny. But, yeah, that was a cool little side plot because it opens up with this island that basically it had a dungeon break on.
Yes.
And it's like an S-level dungeon.
Yes.
And these ants, just this ant colony and all these insect types, which are, like, a really dangerous type of... They kind of hype up like the insect type dungeons as being like, oh, no, they're dangerous. Like,
well, there's just like a video game, right? You know, there's different creatures, yeah, and you have to handle them different ways, yeah, you know,
and insect types are just like kind of like they're crawly and weird and like they have tunnels and it sucks. So people don't like dealing with insect type dungeons, but this one breaks out on this island and like all the S levels in the country basically go there to take out this thing and all like the A level, and they get wiped. Like, it's just, it's bad. Like, it's just like they open it up and it's like all this, like, you know, like, oh, here come the S's, oh, and it's like this big triumphant thing, and they cut away from that, and anytime you talk about that island they just it's like, nah, man, they don't like talking. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to talk about that island, man. That's, oh geez, they left stuff there, you know. So we don't know what happened with all this stuff, but they lost people.
Yeah, know, like we just know that it did not work out.
It did not work out good for these guys, but there's one guy who wants to go back.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really wrap around with our main character, Jin Yu Sung.
Mm-hmm.
Jin Yu Sung is the lowest ranking hunter.
He's the weakest level E, right? Lots of level E's, but he's the weakest.
He's the weakest level E. He's literally known as the weakest hunter known to man,
right?
Essentially, I guess in Korea, but you know, because this does take place in Korea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because there's hunters all around the world, yeah, around and there's the world, gates, yeah, all around the world.
Yes,
but this is all based in Korea.
Yeah, yeah, and I believe they say that in Korea there's only 7 S's left. In the country.
Yeah, each country has like a defined amount of, you know.
Yeah, S's and stuff. So, yeah, which comes into like the economy of the world, which I love. But we'll get into Sun's, we'll get into Jin Yu's story first. He's the weakest level hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot possibly get any better.
Nope.
But this is his only way to earn money.
Yep.
His mother fell ill of a magical illness, because that happens in the world now, that's called the eternal sleeping disease. And it basically just like puts you to sleep and you don't wake up.
Yep.
So literally Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty spell got cast on the mom, but it's just like a disease sort of thing. So they kind of like keep her stationed with like this mana crystal treatment and stuff like that.
She's basically in a coma.
Basically in a coma. But they have to pay for him and his sister have to pay for her treatments. And he also has to put his sister through college and, you know, so there is her school tuition and stuff. So he has to work.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way he can work is to get on these dungeon crews and, you know, head in there and get like whatever paltry amount.
Because there's also like treasure inside these dungeons and there's mana crystals.
Yeah, exactly.
Which are inside of each creature, and you can also farm them.
Yeah, you can farm them. You can farm the mana crystals. There's low level mana crystals. There's the high ones that are like way more like
intricate and cool
looking. Yeah. And then you just have like raw mana crystals that they can mine before the dungeon is taken out, and they can sell that as well because it's an energy source.
Yep.
So basically, he makes the best living he can doing that. You know, he was working at a construction job and realized like, oh wait, I have magical ability. So he went to the Hunter Association, just like in Hunter Hunter, and touched the black globe and realized that he had enough to be a hunter. But it's literally the weakest hunter you could possibly. You just
barely cross that line.
Barely cross the threshold of being honor. So we go in on him, and they're going into this crew. There's a healer girl with him. What was her name?
Her name is Lee Joo-hee.
Lee Joo-hee. Yeah, Lee Joo-hee. She basically is like, you know, one of his friends or co-worker friends types, you know, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. So she's a level B.
Yeah.
But she's not like much in a battle and not really experienced that much. So
healer.
She's a healer. So she just sticks to the lower level dungeons. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is run by a Hunters Association.
Yeah.
Let's set that up.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the Hunters Association, and they're the ones that deem like this portal is a Class C portal.
Yeah.
Which requires this many Class C's, this many Class B's, you know, and they send groups of, you know, you're basically like hired by the Hunters Association to go in or in.
Yeah.
And so Jin Woo is getting in anywhere he can because he's never, even on the Class C dungeon, he is not really contributing. He's just filling that spot.
Yeah, he's filling that spot. He's carrying bags.
Right. Like, it's just, yeah, he gets hurt every time.
Every time he gets hurt by a gobbo.
And Juhi is like kind of on his case in this particular one where we see him, where she's like, seriously, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're a nice kid, and I know you're trying, but this is not for you.
It's not for you.
You know, like, it's not for me. Juhi is not about it either.
Like, I don't like being here either, but like, I at least can heal. You can't heal.
Right.
And like, I basically have to take care of, and, you know, the whole time he's like just sort of like passive and saying sorry all the time. And, you know, just like, you know, and it's funny because like they even say like, oh, if he's on the job, then it's an easy dungeon.
Yeah.
So people like to see him around. Like, that right greets him pretty highly whenever he comes in, because it's nice that he's around. Cause, oh, it is a chump dungeon. We don't have to do anything, basically. So it's like he's like kind of like a bit of a celebrity. He gets in on this. Crew that is Jinho, is that his name? What's the leader guy's name?
Song Chiyo.
Yes. He's man, saying these names,
I know,
we're gonna butcher them,
trying our best,
we apologize. I'm not familiar with Korean very well, but yeah, he's a fun character throughout this whole
thing. He's cool.
I like him a lot, but you know, he's like kind of this encouraging kind of a leader guy, and he's like, you know, just like, yeah, let's get in there and do this thing. And they go in, they do the dungeon, seems like a normal dungeon.
Yep.
Then they realize there's like a secondary path to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
A double dungeon, as it were. And is this the only instance of that happening?
This is extremely rare, doesn't normally happen type double dungeon thing. They find another set of doors.
They're like, this is a double dungeon. Do we want to venture on? They didn't find much in this first one.
Right.
Who wants to venture on? They make a take a they vote
do
for
a vote,
it.
Right.
Do a vote for it, you know, and then Jinwoo becomes the deciding vote, and he's like, I need money.
Yeah.
Let's go, you know? So they go into this dungeon, and it's not your typical dungeon at all. It's not full of monsters, not full of anything. It's just this giant
circular room
with statues, like, amongst the whole thing. And of course, the statues are going to come to life. But then there's a center statue at the very end of the circle.
Bigger than all of them.
Huge. Huge. At the very head of the table, at the very back of the circle. And then there's an altar in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And this big honking monstrosity, you know, like they're looking around. They're like, what's going on here? It's like, there's not a whole lot of, you know, there's no treasure or anything. There's no monsters, nothing here. And then the door shuts on them. And they start reading these little commandments on the wall, basically. Yeah. Prostrate yourself or something to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the god and deliver yourself, something like that. It's like it's something in that order, or something like, or like give your faith to it,
right?
Yeah, something to that degree. And that's the three commandments that they see. And then once those are read out, the god, its eyes look at everybody and just start shooting laser beams. Fire like at all of them.
It's thou shall worship God, thou shall praise God, thou shall prove thy faith.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. So basically, like, it just incinerates a dude like immediately. One guy gets taken out by one. He goes to try and open the door, and then one of the statues comes to life and just like whack, just pops him open.
Yep.
Which it didn't come after anybody. It just like he went near it and he just got boom, cut in half.
Just returned to its space.
And then it turned to its space, and then the beams like shot out of the main god's eyes and incinerated a dude. So they're like, oh crap! They're all ducked down, and like, oh my god, what's going on? So they're all panicking, and it's all horrifying and stuff. And then Jinwoo starts to realize, like, oh wait, like those commandments, and he's like, and he looks up at the god. Everybody's ducked down and like, you know, like, you know, terrified of this. One guy's like, I've got super speed, you know, speed's my thing. And he's got like the dash ability. And like, because you can get separate abilities on top of your, as you level up and stuff, or as you, not level up, but as you like gain like things. So it's like, speed's my name. And so he goes and tries to dash out the door and just gets just incinerated.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
But Jinwoo is just kind of like, wait, what's going on? So he kind of like looks at it. And he stands up and he sees the eye beams look directly at him, and then he goes right back down.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we all need to bow. It's like everybody needs to look at that thing and bow. It's like, oh, okay. So they all like basically bow to it. And then it gets this evil smile on its face. it's just the statue starts smiling. Like
big grin. Yeah,
Titan face. Yes. Like straight up like freaking Dinah from Attack on Titan face. And it feels like a direct reference to that, honestly, because it looks exactly like that. But it starts to get up and walk towards them. And like it's like, oh God, and it stomps on a few of them, but then he says, what do we do next? And it's like it says to praise God. And right. Next we have to praise it. And so like they start like one guy gets down and it's funny because they drew him like your typical hero in like a Korean manga sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And he just gets squashed because he bends down and like gives a prayer, gets squashed, like, that's not this God. That doesn't matter. We have to get to so he notices that many of the statues all have
Instruments.
Some of the statues have weapons, and some of them have instruments. If you go near one with a weapon, it just cuts you down.
Sure.
But if you go towards with an instrument, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts to play that instrument. So they're panicking and trying to get around. And once everybody, I think like three more people die.
Yeah.
In that instance,
it's not great.
It's a bad time. But they each get to a statue that has like a thing, and is that where he gets his leg taken off, or is it? Yes.
Yeah.
So him and Lee go to the one statue that sings, but he realizes, oh crap, it's one person per statue. So he has, you stay here, I gotta go, and he runs to the other one, but he gets his leg chopped off by the stomping god, and so he drags himself over to it, and it's just like, oh, that's bad. Yeah, it's like, because we don't know if limbs can be healed in this situation.
Yeah.
So we know that you can heal, but she's a B-level healer. Maybe an S-level would be able to heal, that sort of thing. They do set up an S-level healer in the first scene on the island, though. Mm-hmm. Where, like, he quickly like heals like a bunch of people. But yeah, so basically that happens. The god goes and he sits back down and he's like, all right, cool. And then it says, praise God. Or then you have to show your faith, essentially. So everybody's got to, he figures out everybody's got to move to the center because all the weapon knights start to move out. They start glowing blue. They start moving out. And it's all just a big puzzle. It's just like, oh, crap. So they go into the center and they realize that, like, whenever there's somebody in the center, when there's five people, like, five torches light up and then blue torches light up around that and they slowly start to go down.
Right.
It's like, that's a countdown. We have to stay here and keep our eyes on these statues.
Well, and the door has opened.
Yes, the door has opened.
The
exit door has opened.
And if everyone is standing together inside the circle and looking at the statues that are approaching them, it's kind of like the ghost from Mario.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
They stop moving. Right? But the more that you look away, then they start moving again.
Yeah.
And some of these people inside, they're like, I'm not waiting to see what those blue flames are, like, what happens when they go out. We're out of here.
So they run.
And they take off. And everyone's like, you know, don't run. You're going to get... And they run straight out the door. They don't get attacked.
Yeah.
But then, of course, that leaves less people in the middle to keep an eye on everybody.
On all the stuff. Yeah. It's good stuff. So you go for the false faith of freedom when you're supposed to bring your faith to the god and, you know, have this whole...
Right.
You know, like faith in the god itself, essentially. And I don't know if this whole temple is tied to what happens to, because I don't know yet. I've only watched 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but if that's tied to him, I feel like it is, but we'll see.
Tied to?
To what happens to Jinwoo
in
this dungeon.
Gotcha.
Because, so as that happens, you know, he's like, they're sort of like, they're all, it's just three of them left. It's the leader guy, Lee, and Jinwoo. And they're just like, oh, like we can't keep
like
an
we're
eye
all
on
gonna
these.
Die.
And he's just like, and so he basically says, like, you got to take her because she tries to heal him, uses too much of her power, and faints.
Oh, and she's all like, she's already kind of dead on her feet.
Yeah, she's already kind of
can't, dead. You know, she's coming into these weak dungeons. She's not, oh my God, the people are dying. I'm here for this.
Not used to this much death, and gruesome death at that. And
right.
They even set up some of the characters, which I like, because I thought the fat guy was like going to be a character through the thing. Nope, he dies first thing.
Oh, yeah.
He even like has like a moment where he's like, I can't die here. I've got a family. And they show his family and stuff. It's like, all right, so this guy's going to like, and just immediately.
That's what you get for being invested.
He gets cut in half immediately after the flashback. Oh, man. But so they're all getting slaughtered, so she's not having a good time, and she's like out of it. She faints.
That is one way to put it.
She's not having a good time. It's a bad time, man. It's a bad time.
You're going to have a bad time. You're going to have a
bad time. So the leader dude, he basically tells him, like, just go. I'll stay, and that'll be it. You know, it's like, you guys go and take her, and go and take her because I want her to live. So he thanks him immensely. He's like, you're literally saving my life. And he's got one arm off, by the way, from
his whole ordeal. The leader.
Leader's got a whole arm off in this ordeal. So he basically takes her out the door, and Jinwoo is just going to sit there and, like, get killed by these things.
He gets massacred
by these guys.
Mess him up.
Yeah, it's not just, like, one hit.
No.
It's like, he's like, oh, God.
No, it's like his body is flying around these giant swords.
Yeah, right? And he lands literally in the middle of the altar,
uh-huh.
and he's about to get, like, totally killed, and he basically cries out. You know, after all this stuff, he says, like, I'm ready to go. It's fine. And he cries out that he doesn't want to die, like, essentially. And then a screen pops up in front of him.
Yes.
Which is so great, because I wasn't seeing this coming mm-hmm. at all, because mm-hmm. you alluded that he was able to level up at some point in this thing. So, boom, a screen pops up and is like, would you like to restart? Or, like, it's like some, like, phrasing of, like, would you like to basically...
Yeah, it's something about calling the player. I forget exactly what it says.
The player is like, would you like to accept? Yes or no? And like, boop, and he hits the yeah, or he commands yes, you know, like, and then he, boom, and then he wakes up in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Arm back on, because he lost his arm after the beating.
Lost his leg.
Yeah.
And they're all back.
All back. So literally, Attack on Titan, lost his arm, lost his leg. That's back now.
Yep.
I feel like these are all references. I do feel like there are references into this.
I'm sure,
like,
yeah.
For that. I don't know how old Solo Leveling was. It's 2008 or 2018, actually, now that I'm looking at it. So, yeah, not super long ago.
Yeah.
2016, sorry. So, published in 2016. So, yeah, it definitely could have these references. Because when he gets his training regiment, too, that's another thing that's mm-hmm, a reference.
Mm-hmm.
But he's there, and he's like, okay, I'm not dead. I've got my arm back. I've got my leg back. What happened? So... Then these government spooks come in, essentially. One of them is Fushiguro from Jujutsu Kaisen. But he looks exactly like Fushiguro. And they come in and they're like, hey, so you're alive. We don't know how that happened because you're an E-rank, you know, yutz.
Because hardly anybody survived this.
Yeah, no, barely anybody survived this. And you're an E-rank yutz who basically got killed. So... we're thinking that maybe you have your limbs back. Did you have a second awakening, which is a thing?
Yeah.
So when you have an awakening is when you feel like the
your
magic powers
yeah.
kind of come to fruition. Then you go to the Hunter Association and get it measured, and then you get your license and blah,
yep.
blah, blah, blah. So they're like, did you have a second awakening? So they're like, maybe. I don't know, because he doesn't remember much.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, okay, well, just put your hand here. They bring a little crystal form of it. He puts his hand on it, and he's 10 points.
Yep.
Out of a bunch.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a large scale, and he's like, 10. They're like, most easy is to get at least 70, so whatever. But, all right, never mind. We'll, you know, feel better.
Yeah, like, glad like, you're okay.
Glad you're okay. See you later. So he's in the hospital, and he's like, how come they didn't ask me about this screen? You can see
mm-hmm.
literally in front of us. Like, I guess they couldn't see that. So he starts messing around with this screen, and he sees that there's a daily quest on it.
Yep.
That's like basically just a training regimen.
Yeah, it's like 100 push-ups, yep. 100 sit-ups, run 2 miles.
It's the literal regimen that Saitama uses One Punch Man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a reference.
That's
to that.
Awesome.
So because it's 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups. 100 or 10 kilometers. It's like literally that regiment. So I'm like, okay, I get it. So like, that could just be like a regular regiment that people do, but
maybe.
I don't know. But yeah, so basically he has to do those. He doesn't complete them this first time.
Yeah, because he doesn't, you know, he's like, what is this?
I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is. Why do I need to do this? So he gets a punishment.
Yes.
And he gets sucked into a world where a giant centipede is chasing him,
mm-hmm.
and he has to survive for like 3 hours or something.
I think it's
like,
longer than that.
It might
be
more
than
that.
A while.
He's in there for a long time,
yeah.
So he just gets sucked into this other dimension. He has to survive this centipede for like a ridiculous amount of time, and by the time it's over, he's like, all right, I guess I need to do my daily quest.
Right.
Really cool thing. So he does like all that, does like all the the workouts in the hospital and stuff, and like he's trying to work out and like and basically just becomes like a super Chad essentially doing all this stuff. But he realizes that as he's doing that stuff, he's leveling up. Like there's points that are now
he's getting
like,
a little stronger.
He's getting a little stronger. He's looking at his stats and they're all like at a 10, and he starts like putting points into each of those stats.
Mm-hmm.
And he's leveling up strength and he notices he's getting stronger. And it's like magical strength. It's not just like, oh, I'm doing sit-ups and getting stronger.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is like real strength or whatever. So, and then he starts getting these little skill, like little skill rewards. And every day he gets a loot box, like a random loot box at the end of the day. That's like something interesting. And at one point he's sitting there, he's doing this stuff over and he gets a key. And it's a dungeon key that where he can go to a certain location and open this dungeon up at any point and go in and like have a solo dungeon essentially.
Yeah.
So no one else is in it. Because even in, he enters one of them and like no one else even notices the dungeon's going on, but he goes down into the subway and like enters the dungeon. So it's crazy. he basically does that. He's learning more about this stuff. He's getting stronger, and then he's like, "All right, let's go do this dungeon thing." All right, so he goes into the dungeon, and it's a more powerful dungeon than he's ever had before, essentially.
Right.
And he's realizes he's fighting three little goblins and he's having real trouble, but he's stronger. He's like, I'm not like getting destroyed.
Yeah, he's not just like killed right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm not getting like destroyed by these goblins. And he's like, but you know, he's taking them on, but he gets cut and he's like, I don't have a healer. Well, that's bad. You know, so he's I don't know how I can get out of this. So I basically have to win this dungeon. Kills all the goblins. Then a wolf shows up and it's got a red name on it called a lichen, a steel jawed lichen. So, and it's got its name in red. The goblins' names were in white.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he starts to realize as he levels up, like certain things in color, like white named things are things that are below me. Orange things are about my level, somewhere about. Red is deadly.
Yeah, red's bad.
So when he sees this, and he realizes that because like when he first sees this, this jaw, this steel jawed thing, it's a red name.
Yeah.
And then he kills it by, he has his crappy knife that he's had forever. Mm-hmm. It breaks. But then he has an inventory, and he got a little bit more of a stronger sword while through all of his loot boxing or whatever. So he kills it with that sword. And then a bunch of other ones show up, but now they're orange.
Mm-hmm.
So like, he's leveled up past that level, so he starts to understand, like, okay, so I'm seeing the white thing. I wish that came in, like, later on.
Yeah.
I was sort of, like, hoping that that would have happened. Because later when he fights the spider, and, like, you're just seeing him, like, yeah, I'll take it on, you know, like, and, like, the other dude, like, steps back or whatever, and he's about to take it on, and the episode ends, what I was hoping for, and he's just like, I don't know why this is a dungeon boss, and, like, you see his name in white, and he's just like, oh, it's like, because it's more of a tough, but it's not, he doesn't just wipe the floor with that spider, it's a tough battle.
Yeah.
So, but I was expecting him to look at him and be like, this is a dungeon boss, and it's just like white. And it's like that's how powerful he's gotten. It's like, oh snap! Like he's just gonna whack this dude. That doesn't happen, but maybe that happens later.
He's got to have a little. He has to have some challenges.
That's what I like about it, because I was waiting for it to kind of go One Punch Man, where he just like wipes stuff.
Yeah.
And at no point does that actually happen. There's a few like there is a few points that happens, but like with the dungeons, like the danger level is always there, even on things that he can like clear. Because like if he's fighting a bunch of goblins or a bunch of armor that he can take one on one, if there's a bunch of them, he can get he can get swarmed.
Power in numbers.
Yeah, power in numbers. He can get swarmed. So it's like it's not just like he can just like bat his sword and kill a bunch of stuff. You know, like it's cool the way they do it. Not everything's just super easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically clears all these wolves out and he goes down to take on the main
boss,
which is this big armored serpent. He can't pierce through it with this weapon that he has. It's broken after like a few seconds. But then he realizes like, oh, I put a bunch of points into strength.
Mm-hmm.
So he's grabbing onto it. He literally like crushes through the armor and kills it. And he's like, I just beat a dungeon. Soloed.
Yeah.
He soloed a whole dungeon. And he's levels up like crazy and stuff. And then he's just like, all right, I think I'm getting the hang of this. So during that time in his hospital stay, he basically just like gets super, super in shape and levels up, and he basically becomes like a different person.
Yeah.
He grows in height. He's like
his artistic style is a lot sharper.
Yeah, yeah.
And more more of what you expect of like an anime character that's ready to fight.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like there's an obvious difference, right? And because obvious difference enough to the point that the characters in the show are like, hey, he looks different.
You look way different.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I've been like, working out.
It's like, it's like the way you carry yourself, like everything about you. And even his sister's like, did you grow? like I thought you were like 21. I didn't know you still grew when you were that old. Mm-hmm. So he basically is like, you know, super strong. But it's not the end of his problems, which is great because basically, he's still an E-level.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want it to be known that he can level up. Like, why? Like, that's.
Yeah, he doesn't want that knowledge
out there. He doesn't want that knowledge out there. He doesn't know what they would do with that or what they would do to him. Like, he's like, this has never happened before. So he has to make money, but he's still a level E, so he can't go on any big jobs. He can't go into a C-level dungeon. He can't go into, like, any of these things.
Yeah.
So he's like, ugh, this is bad. So he goes into, like, an independent contractor idea. So, like, if I go to these independent contractors, they're a little more forgiving about this sort of thing. So he goes to this team that's basically like a dungeon crawler group that just needs guys to fill the slots, like you said. He's like, need an E-level to come by and like just, you know, carry the bags. We're not going to share any of the loot with you, but you get a stipend pay straight clear, like 200,000. That's your pay. He's like, all right, sounds good. We'll do that. And another guy comes on who's a D-rank, but he's got like this super nice armor. And that guy named Jinho. Jinho Yu comes in. He's like this, you know, super low level guy. He's not as low level as him. He's D rank, but he's got like this really nice armor and sword and shield, right? So he's a trust fund baby, essentially. So he's a trust fund guy. So basically, they go into this dungeon. It's an insect level dungeon. They're going through it and everything. And I'm waiting for, like, the backstabbing to happen because I'm kind of, like, waiting on it. But I wasn't sure who was going to do the backstabbing. But, yeah, basically, like, they get to this, like, giant hall where the dungeon, where the boss is, a giant spider. Mm-hmm. And they get this, and it's a bunch of monocrystals. They're like, oh, yeah, let's mine all these monocrystals while the boss is asleep because he's asleep in there. It's like, let's just mine these all out because if we kill it, then the dungeon goes away. We can't get these crystals.
Right.
It's like, okay, cool. I was like, we're going to go get the mining equipment. You guys stay here. You two newbies stay right. I'm like, okay, got it. So basically the idea is that they, you know, don't have to split the money with them. They get all this stuff and then those two die. And not to mention they get the armor that the dude had, which is like worth like $100 million or something. So yeah. So basically they get to have all the stuff and they have two guys that are dead and you know, it was a tougher dungeon, blah, blah, blah. So, turns out that's not what happens because Jinwoo's there and he's a beast and he solos the boss he basically is just like, which is cool because like, again, it's not just like an easy battle for him.
Yeah.
But he does have like the wolf knife thing that he got from the old dungeon or from the fang, the snake. He got the fang sword from that, which has paralysis and debuffs and all this other stuff to it. So you have like this equipment level to all these things too. He also has a dash ability now that he can access at any point. I love the fact that he gains little skills like that. Like,
yes, I do too.
It's literally just like a video game, and it's very obviously like a video game, but it's the real world that it's happening in. Mm-hmm. He didn't get sucked into a video game. It's like this is happening in real world, and it's a magic system. So he kills this spider with the thing or whatever. And then, like, they all come back in. It's like, hey, and Rookie took out the spider. Oh, big, big tough guy. Yeah, awesome. It's like, well, we're just going to have to kill all these. We're going to kill both these guys and steal all the stuff and steal their stuff since this is all about to go away. And he notices the dungeon isn't going away.
Yeah.
And then he looks at his prompt. And this is when the show.
This is one of my favorite parts.
I totally agree.
Yes.
Because the whole idea of, like, this leveling up system was just like, what, like. What's the drawback here? Like, yeah, he gets to like put in a punishment zone if he doesn't do his daily things. What, like, he's just getting everything essentially. So then this is the first time you get the sense that something's playing him, mm-hmm. or not playing him, but like something is like wants him to do things.
Well, essentially. And he says that. Yeah. So basically, like you said, all this crew is like, you know, we're gonna kill you guys and take all this stuff. Good luck. And so his prompt says something along the lines of like, destroy all threats.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
his your heart stops.
Yeah. Or your heart stops.
Yeah. It's like,
and he says to them, of course, they have no idea what's going on, but he says like, oh, the system deems you as enemies. And he says, the system wants me to take you out. And that, and that's that thought, that idea of the system
wants this,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh snap. And it's just like, and he goes really cold at this moment
because
he's just like, because he looks at that prompt and he knows that this whole thing can send him to a punishment zone. It can do these things.
Yeah.
And it says, like, I have to kill six enemies, you six, or I die. So guess what?
Yeah.
And it's so nice because, like, it's like they address the fact that he's killing people in this, because he just, one dude, like, comes up to him, is like being all like smart, and he just whack and just cuts his head off, like immediately. That's his first kill. And he stops and thinks, like, I just killed a person. Like, and he's like, but he's like, but that's what the system wants. And it's just like this thing that's like pressuring down on him now. And it's like, oh snap. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something over him now. It's like, so it's really, it, that, that part makes it really awesome. So now you have the thing that's giving him all this power up is now sort of manipulating him to do something. There's something that they, that the system wants him to be, that it wants him to do, this player.
Yeah.
Like, what does it want him to do? You know, it's like, and then you start thinking about, are there other players? Is there anyone else with this system? Like, who knows? Like, so, you know, it's just really cool. So he just waxes these dudes and, you know, they all get out. And, you know, of course it's like this, this weird thing is like, so you survived again? It's like, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, so you're an E level guy, you're a D level guy, all the B's and C's are dead.
Yeah.
Like, so, or the D's and C's are dead, so you, why did you guys survive? It's like, yeah, the skin of our
dungeon boss.
Yeah, dungeon boss, the skin of our teeth. We ended up killing it. This guy killed it with his really nice sword. See, he's got a really nice sword.
Yeah.
He basically becomes his king. Like, the One Punch Man king.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yeah, it's like, this guy does all the work, but he's, I got good equipment. That's how we did it.
Wink. Definitely.
Yeah. So it's really fun. So, yeah, and now they come up with this scheme, essentially. So, Jinho, he wants, basically, this is where we get into the economy of the world.
Yeah.
Essentially. So, basically, dungeon crawling is, like, the biggest fruitful business.
Yeah, because especially if you can, like, farm all the mana crystals and all that stuff out there, like, you can come out with some mad money.
Yeah. So his dad's a realtor or a
construction
mogul, and construction's just like, it's nothing. I can't do it. We have to get into this dungeon raiding thing.
Yeah.
It's the only way we can grow. It's the only possible way. But I have a lot of money. So he's going to, so his whole idea is to start his own
guild.
But there's only 7 S ranks in the whole thing.
Right. If you want to be a competitive guild, you have to have the members.
You have to have the members, and you have to have an S rank running everything, essentially. Right. Like, that's like, it's like basically a non-starter to not have an S rank at the top. No one's going to join your guild if you have a B rank at the top.
Right.
You know, it's like it's, you're just going to be low level. So he wants to start big. He's got money, so he's going to start poaching S levels. That's his idea, his father's idea. But Jinho has a better idea. It's like, what if we start building a reputation of clearing out smaller dungeons, and we just do as many of that as possible, then we can up our ranks through that rather than, like, having to poach over, do this stuff. We can start doing that, and then I can be the lead of this whole situation. So what I need you to do, since I know you're not an E, which is a regular thing, which is not a regular thing, but it's a thing people know about, is false rankers.
Yeah.
So they'll go into a dungeon. They'll be like, yeah, I'm a D. But they're actually, like, a B or an A.
Yeah.
And so, like, they'll basically, like, handle a lot of more things, but they don't want people to know that they're not that rank or whatever, because they'll have, like, a second awakening, and they awakened as a B, they awakened as an A, and so, like, they'll false rank so that they can farm better and not be taken to larger things, you know, so it's illegal to do.
Yeah.
So basically they don't want any witnesses. So he's like, so you're a false ranker. If you join up with me, I don't say anything about your rank. And we get a bunch of flunkies to just, like, be at the site while we do the dungeon.
Yep.
We clear them out. We get
everybody
the spoils.
Everybody
gets paid. And we just move on. We just do a bunch. And so he's like, maybe. So he kind of thinks about it. Then he gets the, I think this is in between that. Yeah. So he gets the dungeon key to the Elixir of Life. Mm-hmm. There's a dungeon that's basically called Hell. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's literally like Seoul, Korea on fire in chains.
Yeah.
That starts off with a Cerberus boss.
Yes.
And he goes and fights this Cerberus and gets waxed.
Yes.
Just gets.
The Cerberus is one of the most BA monsters that they have in this season.
It's such a good fight too, because he's just like, because he's like thinking on his feet the whole time. It's not like, it is a perilous fight. Like the spider had like some like tough spots.
Yeah,
he had to use a full recovery, but this like Cerberus was like immediately boom, half health gone.
Well, and see, and like, that's I forget if it was in this fight or if it was against the spider, but when you mentioned his full recovery,
Yeah.
So when he does his daily routine, he has choices. He can get complete it and get a full recovery.
Yeah.
He can't complete it and get the little loot box.
Your loot box, or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you first see him, like, smartly utilize his full recovery.
Yeah.
I guess I can't remember which battle it is.
It was the spider, I believe.
So he's basically getting his butt kicked, and then he full recovers.
Yeah. It was either spider or the snake. It was one or the other. But
he saves it for just the right time. The
right moment.
Okay, now I'm full recovered. Now I can go at this again.
Now I can go at it. Yeah.
And it's just interesting to see him using the system to play the system.
Yeah, exactly.
To play the game.
And it's literally like you're banking up your little skill sets on Dark Souls, because like it becomes a Dark Souls game, by the way, at the end of this with Igris. Like that's a straight up Dark Souls boss. Even his name is a Dark Souls boss. So yeah, he's fighting this Cerberus and just getting destroyed, but he's like using a full recovery. He has a teleport stone to get out of this dungeon. Immediately loses it.
Yeah.
so he doesn't even know where it's at. So he basically has to kill this boss. And you know, he has his whole power up moment, and he just has like his rage. That's the first time he has his little rage moment where he's just like, I'm not gonna die. So this darkness that's in him, or just like this power cultivating in him, is now like kind of taking over his mind and stuff like that. So, and he's still keeping his humanity outside, but like there's like this deeper darkness that's like kind of dwelling up in him as he's killing these bosses and gaining more power. But he kills this Cerberus, and you know, he's just like, there's no way I can go into that tower.
Yeah.
So it's a giant flaming tower. It's like, but that tower has the elixir of life in it, which can cure his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great, like,
well,
here's where we can go.
There's three elements to make this elixir of life.
Yes.
And he knows that at least one or two of them are inside.
Does
he already have one?
I think he gets one for the Cerberus, maybe.
Yeah,
I can't remember. It's something. But he definitely is like, there are three components to this.
Yeah.
And
he definitely has to get inside that tower.
Definitely have to get in that tower, because like it's literally telling him, elixir of life here.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, got it.
So definitely going to die in that tower.
So great thing. So awesome stuff. So, but he realizes like, all right, I still need to earn money. I still need to pay for these treatments. So, all right, Jin-Ho, you got it. We're gravy. Let's go. Let's do this whole dungeon raid thing.
Yep.
So ends up getting these flunkies in there. The sister's friend from school ends up being one of them.
Yep.
So she just became a hunter. We don't know what her level is, I don't think, yet. But yeah, she gets, basically she has no hunting experience, so she takes this job. Doesn't say that she's her sister's friend to him at all. But, you know, basically it's just like, oh, they go in and they just, like, level it out. We get paid and we just leave.
Yep.
Like, so she's kind of, like, down on the whole thing, because it's kind of like, kind of want to get experience here, and we're just, like, sitting out having a picnic while everybody else is like, yeah, we get paid. This is awesome.
It's great.
Like, this is awesome. Are you kidding me? Like, they were getting paid to do nothing. So they go in, you know, take everything out, mine all the stuff, come out, and they're doing this back-to-back. And that's when some, like, what I love about this is like there's some like, oh no, sorry. Then the one dungeon happened next. So they go on one crew where they get basically taken in by a government job, essentially. And in the government job, there's three convicts that are going to do it, because some hunters are convicts because they, you know, committed murder or whatever.
Sure.
But they can do hunter work to reduce their sentences.
Mm-hmm.
So three of the guys are convicts, but there's a B-level spook there. For Glowy from, you know, whatever the CIA is of
the
Hunters Association, and it's Fushiguro from earlier, not Fushiguro from earlier. What's that guy's name?
Kang Taishi.
Kang Taishi. Yes. Kang is awesome. So Kang is fun. Because basically, I thought it was going to be a totally different situation.
Yeah.
And I would have liked if they made it a bit of a mystery what was going on, because like he ends up killing the two guys. So basically, he goes on this government job, and it's with the guy who, you know, that he helped out.
Yeah, Chio.
Chio, who lost his arm, and he's like, hey, he ran into him. He's like, you want to do this job with me and the guys or whatever? And then the other one is the other guy that left him.
Ran out
on him. Or two of the guys, or two of the guys that ran out of him. So they can't even look at him. You know, they can't even look at him as they're there.
They know Shane.
Yeah, exactly. And Juhi is there as well. Juhi came along. So basically, it's like this big reunion, plus these convicts and Kang.
Right.
So they all go in, and Kang immediately kills the convicts because someone paid him money to kill his daughter's attackers.
Right.
Who she ended up committing suicide over the attack. They're getting off scot-free.
Right.
And, you know, like, and they're going to get a reduced sentence essentially after they do a few things. So he pays the guy to kill him. So that's what we think happens.
Right.
So he kills those guys, but then the two guys that were with him in the other dungeon see this happen, and he's just like, oh, guess I can't really talk my way out of this one. So he ends up killing them too.
Yep.
So then Juyi, Jinwoo, and Chio show up, and they see them dead and the convicts dead, and they're like, oh my god, what happened? And Kang's there, and he's just like, well, I guess all of you have to basically die, because he's still, one of the guys still alive, and as he's healing him, he like basically spills the beans.
Yeah.
So he pops in and he's just like, guess I have to kill all of you. It's like, should be pretty easy, just a B-level healer and a C-level and an E, that's not going to be a big deal or whatever. But it turns out like this guy just loves killing. So he has a government job essentially because he's an assassin type, and he's a psychopath. And he likes killing people.
Yep.
So he didn't even take the money from the guy. He's just like, oh, you want them dead? Sure, I can do that. So now Jinwoo has to fight this guy.
Yep.
And it's an assassin class versus an assassin class. And again, it's just one of those nice little bits of like, you know, like skill level versus power up or whatever. Because obviously he's not an E level. He's probably stronger than
He's Kang. Probably coming up on a C, maybe a B.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Probably like a B or a C or somewhere like that. So he's right there, but B, you know, like Kang has stealth, which is a literal like invisibility cloak ability. Yep. So, you know, he's basically, he's got to outfight him or stuff, and it, of course, you know, gets really crazy. And you have like this whole like, oh, you like killing too, essentially. So it's a whole humanity, a little like mirror image of his darkness.
Kang kind of senses that like bloodlust.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know how that is in anime.
Exactly. It's like, oh, are you like, you got that killing intent? Like, yeah, it's like, because then like, is that where he sees like, oh, you went a little bit too hard?
Yeah.
The system wants me to kill you now.
That's what happens, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right, yeah. He goes at Sung too hard, and like, Jinwoo's getting his butt kicked, and then the system pops up and it's like, this, kill one or your heart.
Sorry.
Yeah, you did it now.
It's like, oh, sorry. The system wants you dead. The system
wants you dead.
And it's starting to realize like he's like kind of having this idea that like the system doesn't want me to die.
Yeah.
It's not protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's forcing his hand for survival.
It's forcing his hand for survival, and it's giving him options to stay alive, essentially.
Yeah.
It's not like making him invincible, but he's just like, it's like giving him very convenient options of like, oh, hey, here you go. Like, use that how you will. He's just like, boop, accept. You know, it's like, and he gets like an extra boost. He gets a dash boost, you know, stuff like that. So he ends up being able to kill Kang, you know, and they all report it. Luckily, you have the reputable C-rank guy there.
Yep.
He's like basically like, yeah, this is what happened. And, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And they're sitting there taking the notes where I was like, wait a minute, didn't you survive that? They look at the E-rank. You're the E-rank that survived that other dungeon, too. It's like, three dungeons in a row. Oh, that's crazy.
That's weird.
That's crazy. That's weird, man.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. That's crazy. So, yeah, he's just, yep, just lucky, I guess. You know, like, but what was cool was like he was about to admit that, like, yeah, I killed him. Like, you know, it's like I was the guy. So,
right.
Well, they're going to have to take me in and, like, talk about my level, I guess. And but then he takes the blame, you know, he takes the responsibility and said, like, I had a really good B-level healer, and I just outmatched him. I was like, all right, cool. All right. C-level beats a B. Good job. So I was like, good job. But yeah, that was a cool little bit, just because, like, now you have this idea that this system, this whole thing, and now we've got three instances where he's survived.
Mm-hmm.
one of the scouts for the White Tiger Guild
yep.
has sussed this out. They're like looking because they can't. They're looking to recruit like some new blood because they can't train very well because all these sea level gates have been bought up by Jinho's dad.
Yep.
So they, all these missions have been bought up by them, and they're taking on the missions. So they can't have any of their training sessions with anything higher than like a B. So like we can't like it's we're getting
choked. We can't bring these people.
We can't bring them in. We're getting choked out. So his job is to find some like new recruits that are like higher level or like maybe skirting the lines of like the thing. So he looks at this guy, this E level that survived three dungeon disasters in a row. It's like, this guy,
something's not right.
So he goes to one of their sessions to where like these guys are picnicking outside and is just like, so you guys just stand out here while they do the work. All right, that's whatever. And they just kind of look at, and he waits for him and waits for this Jinwoo guy to come out, and he approaches him essentially. He's like, hey, let's have dinner. Let's have a little dinner. We'll talk about it. So he basically goes like, hey, we want to offer you a contract with the White Tiger Guild because we think you're probably good material. You know, good material. Yeah. And he's like, okay, so your offer is $60 billion. He's like, what? Sorry. It's like, I'm getting offered $30 billion for the job that I'm doing right now, and it's incremental over time. So unless you got $60 billion. We ain't doing any of this.
Right.
So he's like, oh, no, we can't offer that. It's like, and then he basically gets intimidating about it. So he turns on the stealth ability that he got from Kang, and which was cool because it came in a stone. And so like, he cracks the stone and he got the stealth ability. So, which was, I like that. Again, video gamey.
Yeah, you know, very much so.
Yeah, these little like level ups. So now he has like the stealth ability. So he stealths behind him and is just like, hey, don't look into me. So it's like, it'd be really bad if people knew about this. So let's just keep this between us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
and so he sits down. He's like, sorry for intimidating you. Let's make a deal now. So he basically sells him these other four dungeons they were going to raid.
Yeah.
But he can't go on the raids. So he's just going to lose money on those raids. He doesn't want Jinho to lose the money. So he's like, tell you what, buy those up for $2 million a piece. And then those three for $2 million a piece, we'll call this even. And maybe we got some more like work. And I was like, oh, awesome. Yeah. Three C rank level. Awesome. Great. Boom. $2 million $20 million a piece, whatever it was. And so he's got like $6 million to pay off those ones. I like it when you get into like this economical situation of this weird magical setting, you know?
Well, because the scout goes back and is like, hey, I bought up these dungeons. So we have some training and all that. Yeah. And they were like, well, no one else bought all these other dungeons. Jinho's dad stopped buying dungeons for like a minute or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, well, we got all these other ones. But and he's like, I got gypped.
Oh my God. And then he sends him a note. He's just like, hey, that's for snooping into me. Give me a call. And he's just like, but I did get his contact info.
Yeah, yeah.
And that might be worth it. So this guy's kind of fun. He's just like kind of like a salesman guy. He's like a sleazy salesman. He wants to get him in wants to grab up whatever he can from him. But as that happens, the B list, like nothing comes of it yet. So I don't want to talk about the B story very much. But basically, like the head of the White Tiger Guild is amassing the S ranks. So we get these nice looks of these S ranks. You got the blonde girl.
Yep.
You got the tiger dude, which I love the look of the tiger guy.
All right, so I screwed this up earlier. The tiger guy is the leader of the White Fang Guild.
Yeah,
and that's Yunho Baek.
Yes.
The Hunter's Guild
is
Choi Jongin. And he's the guy that wants to go back to the island.
Yes, he's the guy with the purple suit and the purple hair, or magenta suit, magenta hair, most Korean looking dude you could possibly see. And so he's basically asking, like, hey, you want to go back to the White Tiger guy, you want to go back because you left stuff there.
Yeah.
It's like,
we
have unfinished business, man. Like, we got to go back.
Like, it's one of those things. It's like, I mean, obviously it's very helpful to the story or whatever, but just that there. So they give an example of like a huge, you know, massive, murderous dungeon break.
Right.
But it's on an island.
It's on an island.
So it's all just contained.
It's contained.
Right, but nobody... Area. So, like, the island is being surveilled, but it's not, like, no one gets on the island.
Right.
They're just kind of watching from a boat.
Yeah, yeah. It's quarantined from giant ant colony that took over the whole thing slaughtered a bunch of, like, A-rank dungeoneers and stuff. So, hunters and stuff. So, it's bad. But they want to go back and like, hey, we need to clear that thing out. Like that's yeah, our number one.
It's a open.
Yeah. So he's right. so he's like gathering up the Hunter's Guild's gathering up S ranks, and the blonde girl is pretty cool. I like her.
Yeah, she is Chahine.
Chahine. Yeah. So she we only get little glimpses of her, but she's like, you know, just like kind of like. She wasn't around when the island thing happened. So she awakened afterwards. So now she's like a top tier S rank and is like, hey, we want you on this mission. It'd be great. She's kind of like, yeah. Like, we don't know much about her yet. So we don't really get anything. We just know she's like super skilled.
Yeah.
And also Jinho's dad tried to poach her as well. Or the brother, actually. His brother tried to poach her off of there. And she's like, nope. And that's where we're getting this idea of like poaching and all this stuff, and like, and then the Jinho's brother is going to like Europe to try and Middle East to try and get some dungeoneers from there, which is cool. Some hunters from there, which I love. Like, I want to see more of that. I want to see some European hunters. I want to see some Middle Eastern hunters.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. It'd be awesome. But yeah, I don't know if we get to any of that. Who knows?
I know.
He knows. He knows because he read the manga.
I read the manga.
Read the manga. But yeah, so while all that's going on. Jinwoo has decided I need to go to this. He got another dungeon key.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm gonna go to this dungeon because it's like, what's the level? I think it's B rank. It's pretty high. It's a pretty high dungeon. So he's like, I need to train basically and get this in, but it's out of town. Like where the dungeon enters is like way out of town. So he's gotta drive out, get there, boom, open up the dungeon. And he fights Egris the Blood Red.
Yes.
Which is awesome. So Egris is essentially a Dark Souls boss by every imagination.
Yes.
Blood red armor, giant buster sword.
Yes.
Glowing eyes and a flowy feather hat.
Yeah.
This is like...
Egris is so cool.
Egris is dope. And I'm so glad that he's staying in the show.
Yes.
It's like... Because I was like, man, it's going to suck when he dies and we don't ever get to see him again.
Well, like, so Jinwoo kind of works his way up to him first because he gets in that dungeon. He starts taking on all these different, like, knight armor monsters, you know? There's nothing inside, just, like, moving armor.
Yeah,
and then there's, like, a few assassin types that right? And then there's a few mages that he has to take out. And he kind of works his way up to eventually getting to Egris.
Yes.
Which is just Egris. Yes.
Which is, and even the setting is Dark Souls because it's a giant courtyard.
Yeah.
That's a courtroom that or courtyard that has like no one in it. It's desolate. And there's an empty throne at the front. And he's guarding the empty throne.
Yep.
Which is like, yeah, that's like such a freaking Dark Souls room. It's so crazy. So yeah, and it's this awesome fight. They tear it. A1 Productions brings their A game to this show. Like just straight up murders these last two episodes are just filled with Sakuga style animation and epic fighting, and it's great. And, you know, just I love the part where, like, he just puts the sword down.
Yes, I was going to say that.
And he starts, like, fisting him, like...
Well, it's like...
That's a bad phrasing.
Phrasing.
Yeah, phrasing. And just starts, like, beating the crap out of him Dragon Ball style.
Well, Jinwoo's fighting him and realizes that his daggers aren't doing anything against the armor, right? Yeah, and so, of course, he thinks back to the snake.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he puts his daggers away.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I'm going to take him hands-on. And Egris, it's so great. Egris just looks at him. And he has no eyes. It's just a suit of armor. But Egris looks at him, takes his big sword he's been whooping him with, slams it into the ground next to him, and then like, he's like,
put up your dukes, boy.
Oh my
Let's
gosh,
go,
dude.
It's
yes.
so good, and then just start duking it out. It's so fun. I love it. He eventually gets him, and then it's a really cool fight because again, just watch the fight. It's super dope. I can't describe everything that happens, but one of the cool parts is that he does pull out his snake venom sword. And he gets him like just under the armor, right? But then Egris grabs it, takes it from him, and is about to stab him. And he's just like, that goes back to my inventory.
Yep.
And so as he's about to use it, it pops out and pops back into his hand. And he gets him like right underneath the chin. And it's just like, it's so good.
Yes.
I love it. And he gets Egris. And I'm just like, man, what a great fight that was. And then he stops and he's just like, hey. This dungeon didn't end. It's just like, there's still more. It's like, and then all these portals start opening up in the middle of the dungeon. He's just like, he's like, oh crap. Doesn't have a full recovery.
Nope.
He's got
doesn't have his teleportation stone.
He did have it when they started opening, but he gets it knocked out again.
Of course, yeah, you got to hold on to those things.
Got to hold on. He never gets to use it. He literally gets it knocked out again. But yeah, and it's all a bunch of like lower level armor that he'd taken out through the whole thing. But it's just like infinite, and there's a timer.
Yeah,
that's going up, not counting down. Counting up is just like, is this an infinite loop? It's like kind of like the zombie rush stuff you see and stuff like that. And so he's like fighting him, and he's just getting pounded on, and he's getting exhausted. He has an exhaustion level that they've established, and like it's going up to like 90. He's got nothing left, and it's just like, and he's gonna die. Like he's literally getting swarmed by all these armors that are just beating the crap out of him, and he's about to die. But before he went into the dungeon, he hit all of his daily goals, but he didn't run the kilometers, and he's just like, I'll do it later.
Yeah.
And he goes into the dungeon, not realizing it's going to take him forever. So he's about to die, and the system pops up and shows, like, you didn't finish all of your chores. And it's counting down. He's just like, I'm going to go to the punishment zone. Boop! Gets popped out of the dungeon, goes to the punishment zone. Yep. And he's just like, oh, crap. And, like, immediately goes, store, open up. And he starts buying potions and starts taking them to get his stamina back. And then he kills all the centipedes in there.
Yep.
And he's just like, all right.
He levels up from that, too.
Levels up from that. Now he's, like, leveled up. And he's just like, okay, what else can I buy? And he goes into weaponry, and he finds an armor-piercing sword that gives him all double damage against, you know, freaking armor-class monsters or whatever. He's like, all right, I think I'm ready. Like, boom, gets warped back into the fight and just starts wiping them all. Oh, it's so good. But then he realizes that the mages are the ones casting it, so he has to kill the mages.
Yep.
And
once he realizes that, it's pretty quick.
It's pretty quick. He starts killing the mages off, but then they start protecting him. Then they make a giant golem out of all the armor, and he takes out the golem, and it's just like this cool fight. It's awesome, and I love it. But then he clears that dungeon, and it's just like, boom, all right, did it. But like, you know, what's the reward for this one? And now it's awesome because like he gets a class leveling, essentially.
So this is like one of my favorite parts because it sets up
all the stuff with the system is my favorite part too.
Yes. Yeah, the totally system is pretty fun.
It's cool because like it's this ominous thing now. It's not just like a tool that he uses. There's something doing this to him. Yes. And it's super cool. So yeah.
And we didn't really talk about it, but in the initial dungeon where he's facing the steel jawed lichens or whatever, once he kills them all, he gets a title.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like Wolf Tamer. Or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
So once he defeats this big dungeon and everything, and this is one of my sells to like anyone I told about this, is that his power set is so cool and so unique.
Yeah.
Because I don't see it amongst other animes.
Yeah.
Right? This is what really hooked me.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of messed with me because I forgot that the first title he gets is Necromancer.
Yes.
And he's like, Necromancer? Like, what? I'm not a mage type.
I'm an assassin type.
It's not going to work, blah, blah, blah.
I'm an assassin.
And even I was sitting there like, Necromancer? I don't remember that. Yeah. Then it goes, you know, level up. Shadow Monarch.
Yeah.
Oh. Shadow Monarch. I have goosebumps saying it.
Right?
Like,
right.
The Shadow Monarch title/ability is one of the coolest things.
Yes.
In all anime manga that I've read, I love it.
And we don't even get to see it much of it here at all.
Not much of it. You get a little gist.
You get the gist of what it is. But yeah, it's awesome. So yeah. Oh, the other thing he got when he was fighting all the other armors, he got Egress's ability to call forth his weapon.
Yes.
So he can basically manipulate smaller objects to his hand, essentially. So that was awesome. But yeah. So basically, he gets this ability because he denies the Necromancer one. He says like reject, and then it's like level, and then it gives him the option for that one.
Right.
So it's just like,
it's like if you turn this down, you will not reach.
You won't reach whatever. He's just like, all right, guess I'm picking that one. So essentially, it's like, and it says like choose a command word, and so when he has a command word, which he chooses to be
arise.
Now, what's really cool about it is like this. Now, this is the last episode of the series of the show so far.
Yeah.
So this changes the game entirely from what he is.
Oh yeah.
So because he's just like a fight. He's just a guy who's like solo stuff. But now he can call forth souls and the shadows
of the people he defeated.
Of the enemies that he's defeated. So the first thing he goes to is like, hey, Egress, like, Egress the Blood Red, you're now just Egress.
Well,
and you're mine.
Well, oh, and there's good. Something to that, too, though, because yeah. he raises a bunch of, like, general...
Yeah, general guys.
Right,
yeah,
and
yeah,
they even... Yeah. They... I just love it. They set the rules very quickly, right? Because he yeah. raises a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, enough.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Egress, and he actually has to release
some.
A few.
Yeah.
It's because Egress is such a strong BA kind of guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Then when he tries to raise him, it doesn't work the first two times.
It's like a Pokeball.
Yes.
It's like
a Pokeball. He only gets three attempts to raise anything.
Yes.
Right? And
yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
on that third attempt where he, like, kind of, you know, does, like, anime and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Egress, you are mine.
Yeah.
Arise.
Yeah. And he's... Yeah. And he gives him a title and, like, says stuff to him and stuff. And, like,
my
boom.
Gosh.
And he gets him and he rises up. And it's like,
and
yeah.
He's this,
awesome.
Like, dark black shadow with, yeah. like, the blue, like, flame lights through it kind of.
Yeah. So good.
So good.
So good. It's like...
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, I can't wait for, like, more of that to happen or
Dude.
For him to come in and, like, help out with a battle and
Dude,
stuff.
Dude, trust like, me. What's coming is spectacular.
And they have all this stuff set up because, like, as the B-plot happens, they get to the island
mm-hmm.
And they find a corpse of, like, an ant
mm-hmm.
that's, like, sort of... humanoid?
Well,
or, like,
it's,
or it's got
it's,
wings?
It's got wings.
Wings, that's
what
it was.
They've evolved.
Yeah, yeah. They're like evolved, and now they're like getting wings. They're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, like so these creatures could leave the island.
Could leave the island at right. some point. It's very Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
It's like, we get off here. So, which is bad. That's in there. Like, we got that plot line. We have the Hell Tower.
Yep.
With the cure.
And there's one more that we haven't talked about, which
oh, yeah.
it was kind of minor, but it'll play
yeah.
later.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when Jinwoo kills the group of, you know, betrayers.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I forgot about that. Yes.
That's right.
Yes,
so
yeah,
the leader of that troop was Hwang Dong-suk.
Yes.
And Hwang Dong-suk is the younger brother of a, like, Class S level, like,
crime boss,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah, it's like this dude is 100, but he's also like, I'll do what I want when I want because no one can stop me.
Yeah, basically.
And
yeah.
so, they cut to him like once or twice trying to like learn
yeah.
Jinwoo's name and
yeah,
being
yeah.
like, when can I go? You know,
yeah,
he's like, cut all my appointments. I'm going to Korea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his assistant's like, well, you can't just cut your appointments.
You can't
like,
just cut your appointments.
Fine, we'll pencil it in.
We'll pencil it in somewhere. It's like,
yeah.
it's like,
and that's
so yeah.
that's they just leave
yeah,
that.
They
but
leave
that.
That
is that's a good little thing to remember.
Yeah, yeah, that is. I forgot all about that part. You're absolutely right because he has a guy because he's even warned by Kang's partner.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, like I didn't know about Kang or whatever. Like, but since you took care of that, or since your party took care of that for me, let me let you know this is happening. Like,
right.
keep on the down low. Like, make sure you keep an eye on your loved ones because like this guy's legit, and he probably blames you for his brother's death.
Yeah, absolutely,
like because the only thing he sees is that you two survived.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's a cool little thing. Lots of stuff set up for the next season. Super stoked about it.
Yes.
Juhi retired.
like she, which is good.
Yeah, which is good.
She just needed to.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I would like her to come back into the story somehow. Probably won't. It seems like that was like kind of like the end of his like E-level days.
Sure. You know,
like all like the connections to that are kind of like in the past now. So moving forward, now we have, you know, now he gets to summon freaking shadows of people that he defeated.
Oh my gosh,
so,
dude.
It's like,
I
do love
so
the,
good.
I do love the Pokeball effect that is just like one out of three tried and it's just like, okay, I get three shots at this and just like this, ba-doom, like this whole like rejection thing. Ah, it's so cool. So yeah, I'm super stoked about that and I can't wait to see it like in action, like the whole thing, like actually, you know, summon in Egress and like other, he gets other characters and stuff. It'd be awesome. It'd be so cool. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
And you know what happens.
I can't say
you can't
a
say
thing.
The stuff that happens.
I can't say a thing.
Yeah.
But you'll love it.
Yeah.
Everyone that watches it will love it. It's
yeah.
It's just it's really, really good. It's
yes.
it's a manhwa that when I read it, I went back and reread it.
Right,
like I finished
yeah.
it and I was like, again.
Going back.
Yeah,
yeah
I gotta do that one more time.
I did that with one manhwa. I would love for this to get made at some point. Burning Effect.
Yeah.
I
think you told me about that.
I absolutely love Burning Effect.
Yeah.
And it just gets better the like the more I go back and reread it, it's awesome. Has a very stylized look. It's very Trigger. Like, it looks like a Trigger anime, essentially. Right. It's very cool. The way they do the paneling is awesome. Like, they'll do, like, a shot where, like, someone gets, like, knocked across a big thing. But the way it is, because it's, you know, it's webtoons, so it just goes vertically.
Yeah.
So you see the guy hitting him, and you see the trail going all the way down, and him hitting the wall, like, down here.
Yeah.
It's really cool. The main character's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun. It's really awesome.
It is a lot of fun to read the difference in manhwa to, like, well, comics or manga.
Yeah.
Because of the vertical reading style.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And how they approach that and how they use that in their storytelling, which can be really, really good.
Yeah, it's cool. Because, like, again, like, if you go to Toriyama, I've talked about him for, you know, every episode of this since he passed away. But, like, you go to Toriyama, like, there was nobody better at paneling a manga than him in an action sequence. He was just so good at it. So then you have this different medium that's, like, straight down. Like, how do you do this? It's like, you have situations that wouldn't even translate well in regular manga form. So it's really cool to see. I would love Burning Effect to happen. But, you know, like, that should be an episode where I just, like, what's a thing that I would love to see animated? Because I did that before.
Hey.
We should do that sometime. And then I'll pick a studio that I'd want to animate.
All right.
So, yeah.
I feel a game coming
right?
on.
I feel like that'd be good. I think that'd be a fun thing. We should do that. Like, get a studio, American, Japanese, whatever. Pick a property and say what it is. We'll do like three of those or something.
Make it happen.
Be awesome. So there we go. That'll be a cool episode. I'm going to mark that down in my idea book. But Steven, thank you for being on.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I binged this in like one day, over the weekends. And I was wondering about it because I was like, if I just like the anime, like, I think I'll just like, I might just still do an episode because he really likes it. If I don't like the anime, I'm just not going to do an episode because I just don't do a thing. But it's like, but I'll probably like it. It's a shonen. I'm a show bro. You give me the same potato chip, I'm going to eat it.
I know my friends. I feel like I know what y'all like.
Yeah, and like a shonen is like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to eat this potato chip. It doesn't have to be like gloriously brilliant for me to enjoy a shonen. But then I was watching and I'm like, yeah, I'm enjoying this. I'm liking this. And then the six the enemies system, part yeah, came yeah, up yeah. and I was like, oh, this just got really good. Yes. Now we've got it. Now there's something here.
The system plays, man. The system plays a big role. It is very cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. Can't wait for more. I'm excited. I don't know if this is the end of season one or if we got a season one part two coming
up. Oh, I don't know. I think it's the end of season one.
I think it's the end of season one. I think it's just
they tend to announce 12. If it's like a part.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because Spy Family is like split into twos. Yeah. It's like 12 and then 12 and that's season two, one.
Right.
And that's how they're doing with season two as well. So I think this is season one and we'll probably get season two next year. So I know they're working on it. So I'm excited. It's dope. A1 Pictures really brought it with this one. It's great. But that's going to do it for this episode, Steven. Thank you for being on. I appreciate it. This has been the Animation Destination Podcast. You can check us out at animationdestination.com, Instagram, and Facebook at Animation Destination. And we'll be back next week to talk about something else. So we'll be back next week. Stay tuned.